You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Dogs are commonly called man's best friend, but according to the Humane Society of the United States surveys, it's time canines start believing the saying, cats rule and dogs drool. It's estimated that there are 93.6 million cats in the United States, while dogs are barking up the tree with a mere 77.5 million in their pack. Thanks to YouTube, cats are garnering the respect they deserve. Cats can scuba dive, play patty cake, tickle the ivories of a piano, and chase bears away from their backyards. But they're still misunderstood. If you've been thinking of adopting your first cat or adding another to your clowder, my guest, veterinarian Jane Brunt, executive director of the Catalyst Council and true allurophile, will give us some pointers and tell us more about National Adopt-a-Cat Month. Plus, she'll explain why cats are like potato chips. You can't have just one. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Buster, you're telling me my dog food products can't go on your shelves?
That's right. Didn't pass one of my Petco certified nutrition checklists. Sorry, Wayne.
Who made these checklists?
Geniuses. Very smart guys.
Well, it's good enough for most grocery stores.
Do you see cheese puffs on my shelves? Mayonnaise? Soda pop?
No.
That's because I ain't running no grocery store, Wayne. Your pets will get better nutrition, I guarantee it. Petco, where the healthy pets go.
Enter the code DR10, DOCTOR, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
I play tennis because I love to. But inside, I want to win. Take away the court, the net. I might not be a player, but I'll always be a competitor. Lady Foot Locker understands that.
Lady Foot Locker, the first to carry Adidas off-court shoes and the gear that goes with them.
If you play your best, there's no regret.
Lady Foot Locker, one place, every woman.
Go to LadyFootLocker.com and enter the code AFDOC1LF to get 10% off any order of $50 or more. Or enter the code AFDOC2LF to get 15% off any order of $75 or more at LadyFootLocker.com.
Would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience? We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. It's the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Brunt, thank you for being with us. I'm a cat lover myself. Dogs are great, but I don't know. There's just something about kitties that just warms my soul.
They are just such wonderful companions. They do so much for us. Besides being so smart and athletic, and that's the fun stuff, and everybody knows that they're bark-free and self-grooming, but, you know, do you know that they lower our blood pressure? And
well,
furthermore, well, yeah, that's just part of it. We also know there's some really cool statistics about cat ownership that cats, people that have owned cats any time during their lifetime, the Minnesota Stroke Institute found that people that have owned cats are 40% less likely to die from a heart attack. So how about that?
That's pretty good. So thankfully, my heart must be really strong because I've had cats probably since the time I was 5 or 6. So what other good reasons are there to adopt a cat in June? Well, any time is good, but I know that June is National Adopt-a-Cat Month. Why should we adopt a cat versus going to a breeder, for instance?
Well, all cats are individuals and they all have their personalities, so there's some wonderful, wonderful breeds. But if you just think in terms of the great friends that you'll find at a shelter and how many cats that do need a permanent home, then going to your shelter will help the pet population problem. You'll be saving a life, possibly two. And just the sheer choices that you have and the ease of going to your local shelter to find that feline friend to take home.
I think a lot of people are under the impression that you can really only have one cat. You know, having multiple cats, they don't get along. They're not very social. What do you say about that? You know, I have always had at least two cats because I know I work a fair amount of time. I'm not home and they seem to enjoy each other's company.
Yes, people think that cats are kind of aloof and independent when they're very, really very social animals. And if you look at and study their populations, they tend to have those that they hang around with, but they do like groups. And so for that reason, considering adopting two at the same time that might be litter mates or that have been housed together or that have grown up together, is a really good strategy because they are so social and they can interact with each other. And similarly, I mean, along those same lines, if someone has just one cat at home, let's say that cat maybe is getting a little older and is in its twilight or senior years, then having a new companion can often just bring a new life into that cat. And certainly if someone's worried about adopting a cat and bringing a new cat into their home, adopting two so the two new ones have each other to play with. And what a great, great opportunity that is.
I know bringing cats into a home can sometimes be just a period of angst. It was about 2 years ago. Somebody brought in a kitten to the office and it was a little foundling. It was really cute. I said, sure, I'll take it home. What the heck? I've been thinking about adding a third cat to my group. And for about a month, I wasn't really sure if this was the proper thing to do because one of my cats in particular looked like the exorcist cat, you know, the head flipping around 3 times and guttural meows were just horrible. What did I do wrong? What can we do next time to make the introduction so much less stressful for the cats and the owners?
Yeah. Yes, that's important information, so I'm glad you shared that story. And it's true, we like to think that, oh, we'll take it home and kind of put everybody together, make the hi, how are you introductions, and assume that everything is going to go smoothly. And in some cases it does. If people do a little bit of pre-planning for the new one to come home, or even if it's sort of a last-minute decision, like in your case, and brought it home, keeping that new cat separated for a period of time is going to allow some acclimation period. So keeping that new friend in, say, a separate room with its own, what we say, resources, and resources are food and water and places to hide, and, of course, their litter pan, and cats like vertical space, so perches are good and places for them to climb. So having that separate area where they can kind of get used to being in a new place, and just as importantly, having the cats, your own cats that they're already used to having their gang and what's around, getting them introduced to the idea that, hey, there's a newcomer in the house. And so make that gradual introduction. So after a period of time, letting them see each other and then still keeping them separate, of course, when they're unattended. A lot of people have had benefit, some benefits by sharing some of the scent of the bedding and increasing amounts of times where you might expose both the new cat and the existing cat to each other's scents by swapping the bedding about. So the most important thing with cats is that going slow is very, very beneficial. So that make that introduction very gradual. And then you're off on the right paw.
Well, Dr. Brunt, I know you know what you're talking about because you're now the owner of two feline exclusive veterinary practices in Maryland. So listening to you, yes, I know that you are definitely a cat expert. Is it making any difference? You know, some people will ask me, okay, I'm planning on getting a new cat because I have this resident kitty that I believe needs a friend. Should I get a male or a female? Should I get an older one or a younger one? Is there any rule of thumb for this?
Well, I like to say that every cat is an individual, and we tend to kind of lump cats with their personalities as whatever, aloof or standoffish, and we know that they're all different. So I think it's important to understand what your own cat's personality is and what kind of individual is it going to interact with. In other words, for example, say you have a very active Abyssinian at home and it's always here and there and everywhere. Having another cat that would match that activity would be a good thing. So having understanding what the current situation is and then matching the new cat to that would be beneficial. That cat is an individual and respect that. Similarly, what is the personality of you or the in the home? What is the ability of the family members? A family, for example, that has an elder living with them, say grandma has come home and she has a walker that assists her throughout the house. Well, potentially a young kitten that likes to play with things that are moving when they see a walk moving across the floor, maybe that's not the best kind of fit for that household. Maybe a nice, big, fluffy, big-headed cat that likes to sit on grandma's lap, that might be the best fit for your household. So I think it's important to think about individual personalities and how that fits with both your resident cats and dogs and what the personality of the new one coming in is.
Well, Dr. Brunt, this is wonderful because I think one of the real benefits of going to a shelter and adopting a cat, especially in June being National Adopt-a-Cat Month, is the fact that so many of the people there at the shelters take a liking to these cats and dogs. They know these pets. They've been there for a period of time. So they can say, no, this one's kind of one that likes to stay by itself, or this one is just super gregarious and loves all the other cats we ever bring around. You know, it'll take anyone else underneath their little paw, so to speak. So going to the shelter, people oftentimes are afraid too that, they're going to be sickly animals. You know, there's going to be some kind of medical issue. How do you pick a healthy cat?
Well, fortunately, today's shelters and shelter executives are very, very mindful of health of their population, and there's even an association of shelter veterinarians. So it's important to know that most shelters will have, if they don't have a veterinarian on staff or a veterinary hospital, most shelters do have relationships with veterinarians so that the pets there that are adopted can have a health check. And today, it's very common for cats and dogs to be spayed and neutered before they go into their new home. They've had some initial special perhaps vaccines and testing for things like feline leukemia and feline immunodeficiency virus. And so hopefully before they're put up for adoption, they've received a relatively clean bill of health. It's important to know, though, that even if the shelter has said, okay, vet check complete, cat's been spayed and neutered, it's had its first deworming, and it's vaccines, and it's negative for heartworm, then it's important for the new adopter to have an exam with their family veterinarian. And importantly, if they don't already have a veterinarian, try and get that arranged in advance. So hopefully with planning, they've picked out their veterinarian ahead of time and scheduled a visit within the first few days following the adoption, because there are things that the adoption facility may not be able to do, and education that your veterinarian will be able to provide that in the shelter, in the place, in the herd health management may not be necessarily the exact same thing that will be appropriate when the cat is yours and in your household.
Making sure, I think, that the resident cat also is vaccinated, because you may bring in a kitty from a shelter that looks to be in good condition and their bright, shiny eyes, no evidence of any type of problems. But being adopted can be a bit stressful for these cats. And with stress, just like you and I, if you're prone to having fever blisters, for instance, all of a sudden you get stressed. There's a big business meeting coming up and all of a sudden, boop, you break out with that fever blister on your lip. Kitties can sometimes break with colds 5 to 7 days after being adopted. Isn't that correct?
That is right. So many cats are carriers of a similar kind of virus that causes fever blisters in people, causes upper respiratory disease in cats, sneezing and watery eyes and that kind of thing. So any stress can precipitate that virus to start doing its thing in cats. It's important to know that they don't cross species, that the cats can't give people any of that kind of disease. But certainly the stress and making sure that your own cat is, of course, the resident cat, as you call it, is up to date on its wellness and health care and has been to the veterinarian recently.
You're also mentioning that a lot of these diseases, for instance, the feline upper respiratory viruses, are not ones that are transmissible to people. And probably about 2 years ago, I would have said, almost as a blanket statement, oh, if your cat has the sniffles, you're not going to get it, and vice versa. But, if correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it last year it was H1N1 where people were becoming ill and so were their cats?
Well, with H1N1, the avian influenza virus, that is a virus that can affect both of those species. So, of course, you know, there's a lot of review and surveillance, as we call it, for that particular virus. The likelihood of you getting that from your cat, especially if you take proper care of it and it's not in an endemic area and going out and hanging around poultry barns, then that's pretty unlikely.
Good.
So the most important thing that people that own cats or are thinking about owning cats should know is that the regular visits with their cat to their veterinarian, and by regular I mean at least once a year, because in that visit with their veterinarian, they can make sure that it has the proper vaccinations, that parasites are well under control, and that they're healthy, and that's good to go for their lifestyle. And I'd like to just say a few words, if I could, about parasites in cats, because sometimes people think, well, my cat never goes outside. Why does it need to be on regular parasite prevention? My veterinarian wants it to have this once a month medication that I put on its shoulders, and I just, you know, my cat rarely escapes. Well, for one thing, we know that heartworm, which is spread by mosquitoes, affects cats as well. So it's important for cats. Anywhere dogs are on heartworm prevention where there are mosquitoes, cats should be on heartworm prevention as well, even if they never go outside. And the reason for that is, have you ever really seen an outdoors-only mosquito? So in the adoption realm, maybe they had their first dose of deworming medication, and maybe that included a heartworm medication as well, but making sure that you follow up on having that regularly administered heartworm parasite prevention medication.
And I agree with you, Dr. Brunt, that so many people say that, okay, my cat is only indoors. Oh, yeah, but it did escape last week for a couple of hours. Or, oh, yes, it was outside overnight. So these little guys are sneaky sometimes. They will scoot out. And I love you talking about heartworm, because that is something so many of the clients that I tell about it, I think they're just looking at me going, oh, yeah, Dr. Cruz just wants to make some more money. So she wants to put me on this kitty on this medication that it doesn't really need heartworm. That's a dog disease. Cats don't get it. Mm. What would be the signs that you see in a cat with heartworm?
Well, we more see lung disease than heart disease. So in a way, it's a misnomer. But in my house in Maryland, my neighbor's cat died with two heartworms in its heart. And it was a sudden death. It was very, very tragic. And I'll always remember that, because it was just... the cat was an indoors and outdoors cat, and it was just a very tragic thing to all of a sudden have this cat die with no symptoms leading up to it, and then on the autopsy we found the two heartworms in its heart. So preventing it, because you can't treat it once they get it, so it's so easy to prevent it by just giving a pill or using the topical that controls heartworm, and only ones available from your veterinarian that your veterinarian prescribes would be a heartworm medication. But fortunately, a lot of those medications control even more than heartworm. They control roundworms and hookworms and fleas, and so I'll just reiterate making that visit with your cat to the veterinarian to make sure that the right, safest preventatives could be administered.
You're talking about these internal parasites and such, and I know there are times when a client comes in and all of a sudden she says, I need to have toxoplasmosis test done on my pet. Going, oh, so you're pregnant. And she says, how did you know? I'm not showing yet. Going, well, that's about the only time you ask for this particular test. Please talk about toxoplasmosis. So many women who are thinking of, you know, getting pregnant, maybe have had cats their entire lives, and get scared so badly by their gynecologists, obstetricians, by saying, oh, you got to get rid of the cats, or you can't pet it and love it because you're going to get this disease. Please tell us about toxo.
Right. Oh, there is so much misunderstanding and so many misconceptions about, I can get this from my cat, when nothing could be further from the truth. And there's some information in a very easy to download resource that Catalyst Council has produced. It's called America's Guide to America's Number One Companion, and a Cat Owner's Guide. So if they can go to catalystcouncil.org, it's right available on the homepage. It's called Categorical Care.
Very good.
Yeah. So anyway, toxoplasmosis. People think they can get it from their cats. Cats actually get it from ingesting infected mice. And if they ingest an infected mouse, then they themselves can become infected. But a lot of things have to happen. First of all, your cat has to hunt mice. The mouse has to be infected. Then the cat has to shed it in its feces. And then the person has to get the feces after it's been out of the cat's body for 7 to 10 days and get that into their mouth. Well, I don't really know anybody that picks up cat feces, regardless of how old it is, and gets it near their mouth. It's so much more common for people to get toxoplasmosis just gardening, because it's in the soil, from eating unwashed vegetables, especially root vegetables, or from eating undercooked meat that might be infected from meat animals from having ingested it. But that's really uncommon these days. So the cats still have a bad rap for toxo, and that's unfortunate. You do not need to get rid of your cat. Hey, I would say take the opportunity to get somebody else in the household to clean the litter box, but probably don't really need to, but it's a good excuse. Yeah, you clean the litter box now, honey. So, yeah, Categorical Care will give more information about toxo, and that's a good conversation to have with your veterinarian when you take your cat in.
Well, Dr. Brunt, This is some great information. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, Dr. Brunt is going to tell us exactly what is the Catalyst Council, of which she is the executive director. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
Whether they're big, small, hairy, or whatever, you're going to need gear for your feet. And Kids Foot Locker's got all the great shoes and gear that'll get you in the game.
Go to kidsfootlocker.com. Enter the code AFDOC1KF to get 10% off any order of $50 or more. Or enter the code AFDOC2KF to get 15% off any order of $75 or more at kidsfootlocker.com.
And cover those funky feet.
FTD's network of over 40,000 florists around the world have been creating beautiful handcrafted arrangements for 100 years. Each arrangement is delivered the same day and backed by FTD's 7-day satisfaction guarantee. For a century, people have trusted their most important occasions to the flower experts at FTD.
Since Pet Life Radio is all about puppy dogs and flowers, our listeners, that's you, can get a 20% discount on your order. Just go to florop.com and use the code DR20 at checkout. FLEUROP.com, code word DOCTOR and the number 20.
Hi, everybody. I'm Megan Blake here with my sidekick, Super Smiley. The giant mutt and spokes dog for throwaways. You're listening to Pet Life Radio, and I'd like to tell you about our brand new show, A Super Smiley Adventure. Our show explores adventures with animals. They can be traveling, out-in-the-world trips, or inner journeys where our animals lead us to inspiration and self-discovery, or just plain, fun adventures. Join us here on Pet Life Radio on A Super Smiley Adventure. Good boy.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Brunt, this is just wonderful information that so many people need to know about. But number one, what is the Catalyst Council? You've been talking about it.
Catalyst, if you think of the word, is something or someone that creates change. So catalyst in terms of cats, we know there are some statistics about cats, about cat ownership and cat adoptions that are pretty horrifying. For every 4 cats that go into a shelter nationwide, only 1 finds a permanent home. So those are some statistics that need to change.
What are the numbers for dogs?
You know, I know that in many communities, they have to import dogs from other communities just to keep up with the demand for adoption.
All right, so kitties aren't being adopted. What else don't we understand about kitties and cat owners?
Well, it's the whole health care conundrum because cats don't receive the same level of health care that dogs do. Cats aren't microchipped nearly as much as dogs are. And there's some opportunity to take care of our cats as we should. We know that cats are kind of considered the second-class citizen when it comes to veterinary care, and they don't go to the veterinarian as often, and they're just kind of, in many cases, now, I'm very lucky, and I have had an opportunity to start 2 cat-only practices. Those people, our clients at the 2 cat practices, they understand the importance of good veterinary care for their cats. But But by and large, there are many other people who don't have that luxury or don't know that, gee, my cat needs to be on parasite prevention, or my cat could get arthritis. So there's so many things, and cats are different from dogs in that, gee, they don't show their signs of sickness very well. A cat with arthritis doesn't limp. It just might be a little bit more quieter. It's not jumping on the counters as much as it used to. Gee, that scolding that I've been giving it finally worked. Well, it can't jump up on the counters because it hurts to jump up on the counters. So that regular veterinary care that cats need and deserve so that we can help keep them happy and healthy and in your family as long as possible.
You're so right about all this, because so many times it seems as though, especially the older cat, is brought in and, boy, it hasn't been eating for the last 2 weeks, and this poor little kitty seems to be down to skin and bones. You run some blood work, do some lab work, and find out, oh, the kidneys are toast. It's end stage. Or there's this big lump in its belly, and people go, but I didn't know there was anything wrong. I said, what do cats do when they feel good? Sleep. And what do they do when they don't feel good? Sleep. So they're way too good at hiding their signs of illness for our own good and theirs. One of the things I noticed on a press release that you had from the Catalyst Council was the barrier may be the carrier. People hate bringing their cats to the veterinarian because they caterwaul the entire way in. What can be done to keep these kitties from thinking that they're going to the glue factory when you put them in these carriers?
Oh, yes. The statistics around people thinking that they're 59% of people think their cat hates going to the veterinarian. And 39% of owners get stressed just thinking about taking their cat to the veterinarian. So what's going on there? Well, I think if you Google cats and carriers, and you'll probably get 1 million or 2 million or more hits on stuffing cats and carriers. And the reality is that if we give them the proper introduction to carriers, preferably as kittens, but certainly as older cats, then we can get them to understand that, hey, this is a pretty cool place. So to that end, the Catalyst Council has developed Cats and Carriers, Friends Not Foes, which is a wonderful video on the steps, the five steps about getting your cat accustomed to the carrier. So just briefly, the steps are first choosing the right kind of carrier. You want it to open from the top and the side. And then what a lot of people do is they think that just getting the carrier right before it's time to go to the vet and getting it out, well, of course, they're not used to it. They're going to run and hide. So leaving the carrier out in a room where they're comfortable with being and leave the door open and put some bedding in there, you know, this hard plastic floor that is in the bottom of some of these, put a fleece that you've worn or a towel that maybe you've dried yourself off with and put that in the bottom of the carrier, and then it's comfy, it smells like something that they like, and leaving that out. And then the third thing you can do once you've chosen the right carrier and you've made it, you know, quiet and comfortable is playing with your cat near the carrier. Feed it some toys and treats and all of that, make it kind of a fun place to be. And so once the cat is comfortable going in and out of this fun, comfortable, smells good, I like it kind of place, then you just slowly and increasing the time, close the door on the carrier, open the door on the carrier. Then once they're comfortable with that, gradually get it used to being carried over to the car and put in the car, and then eventually, gee, you start the car, and then you go for a short ride. So again, it's gradual introduction with these little tiny steps and rewarding the cat along the way and bringing it home and rewarding it when it gets home, and eventually the car ride's going to be no big deal at all. Now, some cats we know, and step five is for cats that are already fearful, and we all have those in the story of, gosh, the cat's under the bed, and I go up, and I have to go on one side of the bed, and then go on the other side of the bed, and then, oh, finally the client will tell you, I had to get the broom. Well, of course they're scared by the time they get in the carrier and get to your office.
I didn't know that you had a video camera in my house to watch me try to get my own cats in a carrier because I did not do it properly. I just bring it out and they're gone.
Yeah, we have a really cute video on our website. Scotty Goes to the Vet, and Dr. Sheila Robertson at University of Florida filmed this, and it's two parts. The first part is Sheila, Dr. Robertson, doing exactly what we're talking about. And it's what everybody, all your listeners, I'm sure, are mulling their own experiences through their mind. Well, then the second part is from Scotty's point of view, and it is hilarious, but it's also very important. If people can just start to think about, well, what's my cat thinking? What are they seeing when I'm coming looking under the bed and the broom is in my other hand? Well, oh, my gosh. So kind of like stepping back a minute and let's start over here and get the right kind of carrier and put it up and in a comfortable location and making it warm and making it friendly and keeping it accessible. And then in some cases, you know, and as a veterinarian, I'm sure you've had to prescribe medications. Some cats will benefit from medications for motion sickness or anxiety medications. So that would be something, and hopefully you'll be able to provide the link to catalystcouncil.org. The video is right up on the website that tells about all these steps and how to make that cat-friendly.
And definitely have the cat in a carrier so many times. And my practice is on a very busy street. And people will come in with the cats in their arms. It's like, hi, would you like me to either lend you a carrier or you can buy one here? Because you really just shouldn't have it in your arms. Oh, no, 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 it's fine. And then cats can get loose, get in the car under your feet, you're in an accident, or it runs out in the street. It's like, you don't need that. And we've had it happen where cats will get loose, and thankfully they typically head it to the back of our building when they're outside so then we can grab them. But just heartbreaking when that happens.
Yes, yes. I think many veterinarians have those kinds of stories where someone means well, and, oh, she's afraid of the carrier, so I'm just going to carry her in this towel. Well, not a good idea because of all those tragedies.
And put that in the back seat, and if possible, try and secure it down to the seat with a seatbelt, because you can have an accident when you least expect it, and boom, your cat is in that carrier, and it can get injured. So important to secure it down. Dr. Brunt,
yeah.
Please, as we're saying, okay, now we know that the barrier does not necessarily have to be the carrier. What are some of the signs that a pet owner should look for, a cat owner should look for, that their cat's just not right? I know we want them to go in twice a year for wellness exams, being proactive. But maybe somebody just can't do that. I'm worried about finances. But what do I look for to say, oh, that cat might not be the healthiest, does need to go in?
Yeah. I am so glad that you mentioned twice a year wellness visits, because the time frame in the difference of the age span of a cat, you know, the first 2 years of a cat's life is like 24 years in a person's life. So can you imagine going to your doctor, the pediatrician, when you were born and had your kid immunizations, and then not again until you're out of college? That doesn't make much sense. And in those first couple of years, so many things are important to set your cat off on a lifetime of health, and those would be specifically making sure they don't become overweight. That's when obesity starts to happen. Oral care, dental disease is so common in cats that we can prevent that by putting them on the proper diets and managing their oral health and keeping them healthy in just those first years. So those twice-a-year wellness visits are so helpful to the cat and your pocketbook. Because if you can catch a problem early before, oh, my gosh, my cat hasn't eaten for 4 days or a week, and, gosh, it suddenly looks like it's lost weight, we can help the cat, and it'll be far less costly to head off a problem earlier in the progress of so many of the diseases. So you asked about what to look for. Well, the signs can be very, very subtle. It could be something as much as little as I missed a meal or two, or gosh, the litter box seems to be empty, and I think she urinated over there in the corner this time. What does that mean? Oh, she just must be angry with me. Absolutely, you must have your veterinarian assess what's going on with that cat, because it could be something like a urinary tract infection or inflammation or crystals or stones in the urine. It could be kidney disease or diabetes. So finding that information out before a problem happens is so, so important. Some of the other subtle signs are sleeping more. Well, that's a little hard to maybe recognize in cats because they do sleep a lot. But being in tune with your cat and understanding what those subtle changes and any change in their normal daily routine and pattern are so important for you to call to the attention of the veterinarian.
I love it when people keep a pet diary because sometimes they're noticing some subtle changes at home that may really not mean much to them. But then they bring that pet in for their wellness exam and they bring along their little diary. I'll start asking some questions going, oh yeah, it has been going on. Yeah, it has been drinking more water for the last, about a month or so. Going, oh. So we put all this together and do a little blood work or urinalysis and find that the kidneys are getting a bit weak. Or maybe it's an older cat. They think that it's found the fountain of youth because it's slimming down and it's so much more active. It must be that new toy or the new cat food. And find out that, oh, no, the thyroid is overactive. So your cat's in hyperspeed right now.
Exactly. And those are common conditions in cats that can be much more easily managed if we can identify them by just some simple blood and urine tests on a regular routine visit and then tracking that through the cat's lifetime, say once a year or something like that, then you can manage it more early and much, much better prognosis when you identify problems early. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that.
I am so glad that you've been my guest today, you being the executive director of the Catalyst Council. If people want to learn more about Catalyst Council, where should they go again?
CatalystCouncil.org.
And if they need another kitty, this is the perfect time, the month of June, but you can do it in July or August or whenever you want to. Adopt a cat. Great place to adopt a kitty is going to the shelter. Ask questions before you bring that pet home. Ask your veterinarian that you can have an appointment as soon as you get that kitty adopted to make sure that it's in the best health possible. Make sure also that your resident cat, if you have one, is up to date on its vaccines. And if you have more questions, CatalystCouncil.org has wonderful, wonderful information. Dr. Brunt, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Dr. Cruz.
All right, everyone, please tune in again next week. We'll have more great information on how you can be that best pet owner possible. When you have questions, person to ask is always your resident veterinarian. So thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.